Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of Micah and learn how to live simply. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. And we are in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. What an amazing truth we discovered last episode just about fulfilled prophecy, thou Bethlehem Ephratah, all of it. Just an amazing testimony to not only the sovereignty of God in his plan, but also the person of God. The fact that this is the eternal Son who became the human Jesus at Bethlehem. Just an amazing, we could talk so much more about it, but for sake of time, we're going to move on. So if you have your Bible open or can consult your device or whatever, we're in Micah chapter 5 in verse number, well, let me read verse 2 so we have the context and we'll go right into verse 3. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. That's a reference to Messiah, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So the Jesus, Messiah, is the eternal Son, the one who created the world, the one who is from the beginning, that second person of the Trinity. Therefore, verse 3, will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. So John, always good to have you with us. So therefore of verse 3, you know, what is the argument that Micah is building here?
As we see often in prophecy, we'll find, you know, destruction being talked about, and then we'll find a verse inserted that talks about a great hope for the future, and then we're right back to talking about judgment again. And here Micah talks about, yes, it would be a great day. We have great hope. The Messiah is coming someday, but we're not there yet. And for right now, Israel is going to be judged. Now, they're going to be brought back together someday, and someday Judah and Israel both will get along together as one united kingdom under the Messiah, but we're not there, and there's going to be judgment still to come where they're going to face, you know, dire consequences because they've not followed God.
And to go back really to the extended metaphor of a woman giving birth or travailing in birth, you know, during those moments of holding my wife's hand when she was in hard labor, you know, in the moment, nobody wants this. I'm never going to have another child, you know.
Right.
But then to, you know, between contractions, to talk about the wonderful arrival of a baby boy or a baby girl and all that that means and the wonder of birth and the blessing of the future. That's what's happening here. So we're going to, wow, won't this be wonderful to, but it's very painful now and will be painful for a season.
You know, and Micah, as we've seen, goes back and forth between these ideas. He gives a lot of ideas about judgment, some hope, here's what's going to come in the future, but then he brings us back to the current day. And he does tell them now, you know, we have not done well. God is judging us. We're going to go through great hardship. There is an exciting time in the future. But we are not, as a nation, not right with God, and we're going to experience God's judgment because of that.
Verse 5 is such a special blessing to me, where the Bible says, and this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. So now we're talking about this man shall be the peace. What do you make of that, John? This man shall be peace.
Yeah, I think we're coming back now to the Messiah again and how he is going to bring peace. Even back in verse 4, we saw he's going to feed them. He's going to be their shepherd. And I love John 10. Jesus is the good shepherd, the one who feeds the flock. But he's going to bring peace. Now, in Revelation 6, we find the Antichrist who comes bringing peace, so to speak, but he's the Antichrist.
Right.
But Christ will come someday and will bring peace that is so pervasive that it will affect even the animal kingdom and all creation.
So when you think about peace in the Bible, a good way to understand that is to think, first of all, about peace with God. So as believers, we have peace with God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we trust him as our Savior, then we are brought at peace with God positionally because forgiveness has been rendered, and we now have that. We're no longer at enmity with him. We're not enemies of like we were before we were saved. So there's peace with God. Then the Bible talks about the peace of God, Philippians chapter 4, which is that disposition of heart where we have confidence in our God that he is ruling, he is reigning, he is greater on the inside than what is on the outside. It's that disposition of heart that can rule our thinking even in troublous times. It's the resource of the believer. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be troubled. But then the Bible talks about peace on earth. And in Luke chapter 2, ironically, Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, remember the proclamation was peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And the peace that was on earth at that point wasn't the fact that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that brought peace to earth at that time. In many respects, it brought greater struggle. Remember, it was Herod who very soon thereafter was killing babies. That's not peaceful. But the point is that he, the embodiment of peace, the man of peace was on earth. Jesus is peace. And so in the future, in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when Jesus is on earth, then all that he brings with him and the peace that comes because of him will be what characterizes this world.
Yeah, and I love how the peace of Christ, even today in our life, you know, we are to be peacemakers. We are to be people, Romans 12 says, you know, as much as lieth within you, dwell peacefully with all men. You know, we are to have right relationships, and our relationship, because as you mentioned, we have peace with God, we can have peace with people around us. And I know that right now our culture cries out a lot for peace and for things being done correctly. The problem with our culture is that the peace they're looking for is not a peace predicated on God's righteousness, and therefore it will never be true peace. But Jesus does bring peace, and in our lives we can have the peace of God, and we can have peace with others, and that's how God wants us to live our life day by day.
Great point. You know, if peace doesn't have a proper foundation, like any home, if the foundation is not right, then the structure is going to crack. It's going to fall. And we've seen peace treaties throughout history. If you're a history buff, you know this to be true. And what has happened to virtually every peace treaty that has been signed? It's been abrogated because it's foundationed on the goodwill or the trust that people have in each other. And that's a tenuous trust. But when we have trust in the Prince of Peace, then true peace can reign. So in verse number 5, the Bible speaks about Assyria. Of course, that was the present threat in Micah's day. And I think the extended metaphor is that there will always be a threat from this world. But the Bible says, he shall tread in our palaces, Assyria. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. In other words, God is equal to and greater than the struggle that we face.
You know, God is. It's always great to see when Satan brings his best against us that God is more than capable, because God is omniscient, omnipresent. God is more than sufficient to overcome anything that Satan brings our way. By ourselves, you know, we are not capable of going against Satan. But Ephesians 6 reminds us to arm ourselves with the spiritual armor, and how that through God we can do valiantly.
It's interesting as well that when the Lord gives promise of victory, he does so through the mediatorship of people. God uses people. And here, 7 shepherds, 8 principal men, that just stands as a symbol of that God uses people. Shepherds in the Bible, by the way, we always picture somebody in a robe out with sheep and in a crook, you know, staff. But a shepherd in the Bible would refer to a civil leader. So God uses people in their scope of influence, in their position to accomplish his purposes.
Now, that is a great point. that God does use people. And I'm often encouraged when I see Jesus, like even back when Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, you know, the disciples did not have the greatest of faith when it first started out there, but Jesus used them to fulfill the ministry. And it is a great reminder to us that God wants to use us in ministry to touch other people's lives.
Verse number 6, the Bible says, "And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land and when he treadeth within our borders." So Micah focuses now on the immediate threat, which is Assyria. And what do we know about Assyria? We know that Assyria was the tool whom God used to destroy the northern kingdom. And if you want to study, you know, the reign of Tiglath-Pileser III or even beyond that, Sargon II or Sennacherib, you'll see that God used the Assyrians to destroy Israel. Those 10 tribes were obliterated. And it appeared as if Assyria would also destroy Judah when Sennacherib, for instance, sent in Rabshakeh, his mouthpiece, to intimidate Hezekiah. And yet, what did God do? God miraculously, God valiantly and demonstrably delivered God's people, just as Micah promised here. So Micah is saying this ahead of the fact. The 185,000 Assyrians have not died. They don't know how God's going to do this. They just have the promise that God is going to do this.
You know, I don't get too far afield today, but it's interesting with whenever God does, you know, slaughter the 185,000 Assyrians, it is interesting to see that it is the angel of the Lord whom God sends. You know, usually in the Old Testament, almost always we can document it that the angel of the Lord refers to a pre-incarnate form of Christ himself. And it is interesting that, you know, I think the slaughter of the Assyrians there are just a token of down the road what God's going to do to a much greater degree as he destroys Israel's enemies.
Yeah, that's a really great point, that our victory ultimately is won by Christ. And we said a moment ago that sometimes God uses people in the events of our life, but ultimately the mover and the shaker is Christ. Even back to your feeding of the 5,000 illustration, you know, God used the disciples to help in the process, in the organization, in the distribution of food, but no disciple could turn 5 loaves and 2 fishes into that feast. Only Jesus could do that. So it does always come back to the sufficiency that we have in Jesus Christ.
You know, I love how this scriptures time and time again draw us back to Christ, point us back to Christ, show us who Christ is. And it is just fascinating to see Christ even throughout the Old Testament and what it talks about him and how now we have the whole picture with the New Testament. We know more about Christ than the Old Testament saints did, and what a great Savior we serve.
Yeah, Luke 24, John 5, even Peter referenced there in the book of Acts that, you know, the scriptures refer to Christ. And as we mine the truths of even books like Micah, what do we see? We see the Lord Jesus Christ emerging. He is our peace. He is our valiant battler. He is the deliverer. It all comes back to the angel of the Lord, to Jesus Christ. Well, I hope that helps today, my friends. We look forward to continuing on in chapter 5 next episode. Maybe a good takeaway for today would just be to say, hey, Jesus is on my side and the victory is won through him, both in justification and in your battle that you're facing today. Trust him. God bless you, my friends. Hope you have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.